Hi there, and thanks for joining us this week on Leading Edge. I'm your host, Jeff Smith. Coming up in just a few, a plan to pay teachers more here in the Buckeye State and how it's getting some support and some opposition. But first, there are stressful jobs. We can argue about that all day long. But when you're tapped as the answer person for a major metropolitan area's water system, and you have to steer the course not only for what has happened in the past, but also for the future, I would say that's pretty stressful. My first guest today just announced his retirement from the City of Toledo Public Utilities Department. Come with me. Let's bring in Ed Moore joining us here on Leading Edge. Ed, good to see you. Thank you so much for doing this. I've got to ask you, we all play for the name on the front of the jersey, but there are a lot of things in motion right now changing the infrastructure of this region. So how do you see it when you kind of step away from that, and how do you step away from that?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, thanks for having me, Jeff. I appreciate it. You're absolutely right. This is probably one of the most stressful jobs you can imagine. I've been told I'm responsible for 500,000 lives in the Toledo area, in the region, and that's all because water is life. So it's an important job, and I'm absolutely honored to have the position. And you're right, we are. I've eclipsed 30 years with the City of Toledo, so I'm starting to look forward to the next phases of my life. So we're gonna look at retirement here shortly.
And I'm imagining when those people are reminding you that you're responsible for 500,000 lives, that's when days are good, right?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about some of the projects. Let's bring people up to speed. Some of the projects that are underway. And I want to ask you specifically, I want to change the narrative here a little bit. I want to ask you about which ones give you the most hope.
Yeah, sure. So if you think back, I've been in this position of the Director of Public Utilities here for the City of Toledo for the past 10 years. Started in April 14. I was actually 4 months before the Do Not Drink advisory happened in 2014. So it was sort of indoctrination by fire. But what we did is the team that I had together, we absolutely committed ourselves to fixing what the issues were with the utility. And that required a deep dive and a real honest look at who we were. So we did an analysis. We did a performance audit. We got the results of that right after the Do Not Drink advisory, and it was not good. We went to the City of Toledo, Toledo City Council, and presented the findings. And I absolutely said, this is us. We need a lot of work done. We need it to fix a lot of things. So we owned that study, but then we started looking at the recommendations and said, you know, we have a lot of room for improvement. And we have the interest and we have the energy to get it done. So the first thing, obviously, was to fix the drinking water system, the plant itself, so that we would not experience another Do Not Drink advisory. What I will say is there were a lot of days after the Do Not Drink advisory and going into the 2015 season that we were concerned there could be another. But we took immediate steps to really make sure that we did not have a second Do Not Drink advisory. And those were some near-term improvements we made between the Do Not Drink advisory in August of 14 and before the algae season of 2015. And we were successful there. So the biggest thing was getting the plant improvements done. We reached an agreement with the Ohio EPA in 2016 for a plan of improvements. That was the $500 million project that we talked about a lot. We commissioned the Blue Ribbon panel to do that study. And now we can say we're more than 95% done with those improvements. The big recommendation that came out of it was the ozone system that's been up and running since 2018. So we have all of the tools we need to fight everything that we experience out in Lake Erie. As our mayor often says, we don't have a drinking water issue in Toledo. We have rectified that situation. We have a source water issue here in Northwest Ohio with the western base of the Lake Erie. So we're still working to help others solve that problem. But our Number one job is to make sure we can treat anything that's out in Lake Erie,
Well,
and that's what we're doing today.
yeah, and I think that's what I wanted to dive into with you. And we'll
Sure.
get more into what happened back in 2014 in our next segment, if you could stick around
Sure.
for that. But I did want to ask you, as far as sources are concerned, and obviously, you know that you've got these balls up in the air as far as the system is concerned and the things that are going to happen in the very near future. What
Sure.
about the reservoir plant out in Oregon and providing that additional source for drinking water? That was talked about months ago. You talk about stepping away now. Are you confident with where that's headed?
Yeah. So after talking with the administration, it's we had to make some serious decisions about what we want to see with this water system. And again, you talked about that reservoir system that we did the study. The Regional Water Commission actually commissioned the study, but we just led the effort on behalf of the region. But that was something we committed to when we created the Regional Water Commission in 2020. We committed to our regional partners that we were going to come up with an alternate source of water. So that plan is still underway. However, it was delayed, as you and I talked about last year. The need of the raw water main repairs that have to be done. Those are more critical repairs, and that's what we do from an engineering perspective. We look at critical path items, and that raw water main was a much bigger threat to our water system than was having an alternate water source at the time. So, but as far as the continuation of the progress of what we're trying to accomplish here in Toledo and the region, we have a person that is going to step into the job that has been my deputy director. He was before we created the Department of Transportation. Doug Stevens was my deputy director. So he and I worked hand in hand. And what's going to happen is Doug is going to come back and take over the role of director, and then we'll figure out where to go from there. But I feel like the system will be in real good hand. Doug is a professional engineer, highly trained in engineering tactics, and he'll work closely with the Regional Water Commission just as I did.
Hopefully, a seamless transition. Ed, stick around. We're going to have much more with you when we come back. Once again, Ed
Sure.
Moore, he's been the head of the Public Utilities Department for the City of Toledo, announcing his retirement. We're going to catch up a little bit more right after this. Welcome back here on Leading Edge once again. I'm Jeff Smith, and this is Ed Moore. He is announcing his retirement from the Department of Public Utilities for the City of Toledo after a three-decade career. I guess thinking it is one thing, saying it is another, Ed. How does that impact you?
Yeah, it is. It's unbelievable because it seems like, it was just yesterday when I was a younger kid starting with the city of Toledo. I never could have imagined this is where it would end. But time flies. They don't lie when they say time flies.
Absolutely. And did you ever think in your wildest dreams that this job would go to a career?
I was hoping it would. If you think about it, in the early 90s when I took this job, I think it was 1992, it was very much still a thing for, public employees where you came to work for the public, you took a little bit of a pay cut in order to work in the public system because of all the great benefits and the retirement. So a lot of us that came in around that time, we absolutely were of the opinion we will be here. Now, there were times I questioned whether I would make it 30 years, but yeah, I think that was the intent when I came in was to finish my career with the city of Toledo.
Ed, I've been here in this area all my life, and I know in this realm, as far as media coverage is concerned, you and I have had multiple conversations about the age of the infrastructure. Not only, I'm talking underneath the city of Toledo as well, not only out in the lake, but water
Yes.
main breaks over the years. We're changing water meters throughout the city of Toledo, more up to, I guess, the 2024 standards. The intake that you and I talked about last year that stretched miles and miles and ends at the mouth of the lake. The couplings were a concern, zero life expectancy on that intake. Where are we with that project right now?
Yeah, so we're right on schedule. We're getting ready to start the design process. We are going to do the design here yet this year, and again, we will get under construction early next year, just as anticipated. And we hope to have that project done by in within 3 years of the start of construction, because it's going to be constructed in three phases. So there's 3 3-mile stretches of pipe that have to be replaced. And we have to be careful about how we do that replacement, so it will take 3 years for construction.
And once again, remind people that intake is at the mouth of Lake Erie, bringing water 9 miles into what?
So the intake is 3 miles out into Lake Erie, and that brings water is fed from the intake 3 miles out in Lake Erie to the low service pump station, which is in Reno Beach, right around the burnt Bono curve out there. And from 9 miles from there into the Collins Park drinking water plant is where the raw water comes out of Lake Erie and starts its treatment process at the Collins Park drinking water plant.
Ed, for people who haven't heard it yet, they want to hear it out of your mouth. What triggered this retirement? What went off in your mind to say now is the time?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm just thankful that I got to this point where I could make a decision, but again, if we, I think I would have had to stretch it out a little. We had to do a full search and get somebody up to speed on where things are with the utility. But I'll absolutely say, were it not for the fact that we had Doug Stevens ready to take over this organization, I would have been hesitant about walking away. But at some point, you have to think about moving on to the next step. 10 years has been a long time over the utility. In fact, that's the longest anyone has ever been a director of public utility. 10 years, span five mayors. And again, as you open with this is a very stressful job. And at some point, we have to turn it over to someone else. And we're starting the next phase of that. So Doug will be in, and he'll be able to do a great job.
I'm sure people have said that the algal bloom crisis, the do not drink advisory crisis of 2014 was a career-defining moment. Maybe they said that to you. Did you see it that way as well?
I knew for a fact that this was a major problem, and it was gonna not gonna be it's not gonna shine a positive light on the city of Toledo. And for the fact that I'm in right in the middle of it, yeah, it was absolutely, I wouldn't say at the time I considered it career defining, but the way I think and process, it was a critical moment that we just had to solve the problem, and everything that came after that just was a natural progression of what we did. So I didn't look at it initially that way, but now that I look back on it, I will say it did shine a bright light on what I'm trying to accomplish.
What do you remember about communication roles leadership during that August weekend?
Well, again, it caused us to reflect on how we interacted. Again, the 56 hours during the crisis itself, that was only trying to solve problems, not worrying about any other thing. We were in the emergency operations center trying to figure out how to get water to people, how to distribute water, how to treat the water so that it went back under one part per billion. And then we were also doing a third part to this, which is we were trying to work with state regulators, US and Ohio EPA and academia, to come up with a better testing protocol. So we had a three-prong approach that we were working on, and it really, really took up the time. But that was really all we were trying to solve at the time.
Let me ask you before we let you go, 3 decades of city government and leadership
Sure.
changes. What's the one period that you look upon most fondly?
Well, I what I really what I look upon most fondly, and I will say it absolutely, that we created the Regional Water Commission. There were people who told us we'd never be able to accomplish that, but what we tried to do was break down barriers with our regional partners to show them that we were all in on this proposal. We were truthful with them, we were transparent with them, and we got it done. And that's what I'm proud of. And we got brand new 40-year contracts for all of our regional partners to secure our system for the next 40 years.
It is pretty monumental when you think about it, getting all those parties
Yeah.
down at one table, getting them to agree on one common goal, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. And please do not be a stranger to WTOL 11 in the days forward. And please keep us posted on what is next for you, sir.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Good to see you. And thanks for joining us here on Leading Edge. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Appreciate you, as always, being here with us. By the way, I wanted to mention Ed Moore says he's going to take a few months to reflect and figure out what is next for him and really focus right now on the family. Well, next here on Leading Edge, as a co-sponsor of House Bill 411, State Representative Elgin Rogers is among a group of lawmakers who see merit in giving teachers in the state a leg up. So much so, they want to see teachers' base salary go from $35,000 a year to $50,000. Now, while there are those who will say, heck yes, give them more money, they deserve it, there are others who are going to say, whoa, 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 merit, yes, but who and how are we going to pay for this? State Representative Elgin Rogers joining us in studio with us today here for Leading Edge. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in. I know you talked earlier this week. We did a story with WTOL 11, but I wanted to give you a little more time to kind of flesh this out. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the genesis. How do we get to point of 411 and how, a little civics lesson for everybody, what does a co-sponsor mean?
So a co-sponsor means that you're not the primary sponsor. The primary sponsor of this bill is my colleague Joe Miller from Lorain, Amherst, Ohio. He's the primary sponsor. That means he generated the idea. And the co-sponsors are the folks who say that we're going to support this bill as it's written. And part of the lesson here is that this bill has not been introduced. It has not been assigned to a committee. But when it's assigned to a committee, voters and the public will have an opportunity to come to Columbus and submit testimony either for the bill or against the bill. Yeah. And they don't have to come to Columbus. They can also provide written testimony. And if they want to know how to do that, they can contact my office. My number is area code 614-466-1401. Or they can reach me at rep44@ohiohouse.gov.
Yeah, Google Elgin Rogers. It will pop right up for you there. So as you guys look at it, and we prefaced it by saying $35,000 to $50,000. And this is in the very early stages. We do want to point that out. But as soon as these stories came out, Elgin, it caught like wildfire. There was a lot of conversation around the state about it. Where's the $50,000 come from?
What I'll tell you is I got a lot of phone calls. Got some phone calls and some emails, and some folks thought it should be higher. Some folks said it should mimic the legislator's salary. And some folks said, wait a minute, hold on, let's pump our brakes here. A lot of people don't know that we just raised teacher salaries this General Assembly in the current House Bill 33, and we raised it from the previous salary to $35,000. We asked in the House that it be raised to $40,000, but it went to the Senate and they took it out completely. And then in conference committee, it came back and they left it at $35,000. That was the agreement. It was agreed upon the $35,000. But the $15,000, and most people may not know this, but at $35,000 a year, we know that teachers work extremely hard. We know that they go in their pocket. The schools that I attended here in Toledo, I know my teachers and my coaches, they went in their pocket to make sure their kids ate. They made sure students had school supplies. And they made sure that students also had bus fare at times. Mm. So that never goes on the balance sheet. It doesn't show up as a tax liability or a tax write-off.
Right.
And so we know that $35,000 a year over a course of a year is just a little bit above $17 per hour. And these are teachers who are not just they're highly skilled. These are teachers who are trained. These are teachers who have education.
Right.
These are teachers who have to pay back student loans. So it's only fair, and we understand what inflation is doing to our state and our nation. So this is an opportunity to make sure that the wages represent the job that they're doing.
Right. And you also said you wanted this to be a rallying cry as a kind of to bring in recruits as well, a recruiting tool.
We also want to retain and recruit folks to the state of Ohio, good teachers, right? It's a part of making sure that we have an educated workforce and it attracts other people to our state, like good business and good jobs with good wages that are safe for women and men. Also, what I'd like folks to think about, we just came out of hopefully a once in a lifetime catastrophic event, the pandemic.
Sure.
A lot of families were at home, little Molly, little Junior, little Sally, and it was rough. So what we're asking is that people think about the time that the teachers spend with your children every day.
Right.
From early as 7 in the morning to 5 at night or 4 at night.
Because I think the point you're trying to make is before all the online education was figured out, it was everything was falling on mom and dad back home to take that role and play that role. That's what you're saying. And how tough that job is yes. what you're saying. I do want to kind of, I did talk to some administrators throughout the week. I knew you were coming. They knew you were coming. I wanted to ask you some of the counterpoints to what you guys are proposing in this bill. Market to market, community to community, this will affect this increase, if it were to go through Representative Rogers, this would affect communities differently. Some can afford it. Some cannot. What do you say to that?
That's a great question. You know why? Because there's we have a funding formula in shape, in place now. We know that there's a funding formula.
But we know that that state funding formula is broken.
We understand that.
Yeah.
And so this is also an opportunity to fix and correct some things instead of continuing to kick the can down the road, which we've been doing. We also understand that some of these processes of funding schools are regressive, and some folks would have other ideas about how we fund schools.
Yeah.
So this is another opportunity to fix what's broken.
Does this affect benefits? We got about a minute left. Does this affect benefits, negotiations, anything as far as the unions are concerned?
In terms of that collective bargaining agreements, unions will still have an opportunity and workers will have an opportunity to make sure that their workers are being treated fairly. And I think this is a step in the right direction to make sure that workers are paid based upon what the state legislature decides. And ultimately, and again, we have an opportunity for public input, which is very important.
Right.
So if there are folks who have ideas, we can amend this bill. All right. This is the bill that's introduced.
Work in progress.
It's a work in progress. We want to make sure that we have public input. And that's why bills are introduced, to get public input.
10 seconds. Fair or unfair, this statement? The teacher shortage is multifaceted, but it starts with politicians and community members respecting the hard work educators do every day.
I don't understand that question.
It's not a question.
I don't understand that statement. I don't understand the statement because.
5 seconds.
Let's make it happen and make the 50,000 work for the teachers.
I appreciate it. Roger, Representative Rogers, good to see
you.
Thank you so much. We'll be back right after this. Once again, a big thank you to State Representative Elgin Rogers and from the city of Toledo, Ed Moore. Hope you have a great week. See you next time on Leading Edge.